This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the experiences we have in our theaters. The sights, the sounds, the scenes, all the fun that we have could even include tinkering. A little more on that maybe next week. I got something special lined up for next week. Excited for that. See if it pans out. Also, this week, wow. Very excited for this one. Been looking forward to doing this, doing Rambo First Blood Part 2 for quite a while now. I watched it a little while ago, did all my analyzing and stuff, and well, we'll see when we get to that, when we break it down. But in the meantime, I'm DJ. This is Brightside Home Theater, and you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com, or go to the website, check out all the podcasts there, and featured home theaters, plenty of them up there. Get ideas, leave comments, or just look around, see what's possible, because we've got another thing coming up pretty excited about this, talking about kind of an offshoot of Brightside Home Theater. We're going to be delving into building one, maybe. So in the works, as they say. So that'll be coming around pretty soon. Also, if you're not watching this on YouTube, you can check me out on YouTube. Go there, Brightside Home Theater YouTube page, and check out all these podcasts are now coming out as YouTube videos as well. And if you're not watching there, please just check it out. Go there, hit subscribe. That'd be really cool. Thank you very much. Lots of comments coming over there, back and forth, having fun with the YouTube thing, growing the podcast. This is how it works. But I have one listener. I have two listeners. I don't know how many listeners I have. I have a bunch. I like them. I don't need a lot. I just love home theater. I love talking about this stuff. So let's get to some stuff. Oh, Patreon as well. Sorry, we have Patreon supporters. If you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, you can. You can go to Patreon at patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. And you could support me as little as a dollar a month. It's a subscription type thing you sign up for. Donation once a month. They'll take a dollar from you, give a little bit to themselves and most of it to me. And you can support the podcast monetarily, because it doesn't really support my home theater habit. It supports all of this, the hardware and software that goes into producing a podcast. So really appreciate that. It's absolutely not necessary. This is my hobby. I love doing this as well. I love meeting all you people, so that's why I did it. But if you have an extra buck lying around a month, I'd appreciate it, really, or more. That'd be great, too. Infinity, you can go as high as you want. So that would be great. And on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter. It's a great way to support the podcast. And thank you to my 14 patrons, by the way. Thank you very much for everybody that is supporting me already. Really appreciate that. And you can support the podcast just by following me on Twitter and joining in on the conversation. Gets people to know who I am and how this thing works and all the fun stuff that we have here and people commenting back and forth. That's a great way to support the podcast. Another way to support the podcast, if you're looking on YouTube, I have merch. You can go to T Public, Brightside Home Theater there. You can check that out. There's a few different t-shirts, mugs, blah, 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 all that stuff. But Brightside Home Theater there, you could do that. Thank you. Thank you to everybody that already has. Thank you to everybody that will someday. I really appreciate that. All right, let's get to listener comments. Speaking of how to support the podcast, first up, we have Ariel on Ariel Alan. I'll just say Ariel. He says, watching on YouTube right now. This is a great movie. Don't know why it got so much hate. And he's referring to last week's podcast on Mulan in 4K. And I'm hoping he's watching me on YouTube and not Mulan on YouTube. Well, it doesn't really matter. But yes, why did it get so much hate? It's kind of funny because I think the hate that it got was because it wasn't what people were expecting, which typically is what happens with movies. It's what happens with Star Wars fans. It's what happens with Marvel fans and DC fans. It's not what they expected. And it's not up to the artist anymore. It's up to the beholder. It's like, hey, you got to make what I want. And that's not really what happens. But in this case here with Mulan, I think everybody was expecting a more musical-based feature similar to the original from the 90s. And when they got to the theater and it was more of a, you know, right action movie, really, which is why I really liked it, people were disappointed. My daughter even said she had never seen it. When we sat down to watch this, she hadn't seen it because she knew it wasn't a musical. And so she wasn't like really interested in it. She did want to see it. She was excited to sit down. She's like, yeah, I'll watch that. But it wasn't, it didn't, if she knew it was a musical like the original, she would have probably gone to the theater and seen it, but it just didn't grab her. So she even commented on that when we sat down. I pushed play, and she's like, you know, I would have seen this earlier, but I know it's not a musical. By the end of the movie, she really enjoyed it, liked it more than she thought she would. And there are parts of it that have the musical elements to it. And there were times going throughout the movie, she's like, oh, right here is where they played the music, where she sang the song and looking into the water and all this. So she does have a, you know, pretty good history of the movie. But I think that's why it got so much hate, to be honest with you. It just wasn't what people expected. They wanted that musical part. And what we ended up getting was more of an action feature. So, all right, that's my two cents. What else? What am I going to say? Hey, Brightside HT, this is from John Z at Johnny Speakers. Hey, Brightside HT, my kiddos picked this up for me for Father's Day. I have this week off and I'm planning on a movie day. Happy Father's Day, DJ. And he sent a picture of Fast and the Furious 4K 8 movie collection, which I think is a fantastic set. There is so much great home theater fun from 1 through 8, and now 9 is coming out. I have actually a funny story about the original. When I built my theater, I started building it in December of 2001, the current theater I have now, and I finished it in January of 2002. And the first movie I watched when the theater was completed was Star Wars. As I've said many times on this podcast, it's always Star Wars. But before the theater was completed, I had a buddy of mine over that worked for me. And it was a rainy day. We weren't working. And my TV had just been delivered. Now, when I built my theater, I built the front wall. It was a false wall, but it was made out of, it did have drywall on it, but there was a window in it cut to the exact dimensions of the TV that I bought. And I bought a Mitsubishi 65-inch rear projection, you know, high def TV at the time. And that was like $3,500, but it was cheaper at the time than getting a projection system. And because I wanted to have high def and everything. So I did that. And by the way, that idea was based off an M. Night Shyamalan home theater. That was his screening room. And he built it that exact same way because he wanted to have the high def picture. He wanted to have the best picture he could have, and he used a Mitsubishi TV, and I think it was the model up from mine. He had a little more money, obviously. But anyways, so when you looked at my front wall, it looked like, once the TV was in, it looked like a flat screen TV, and this was before flat screens existed. So the TV gets delivered. The guys come in. I had a platform on the backside of it. It was all ready to be plugged in. The room wasn't done. There was no carpet. There was no paint on the walls. The speakers were run raw, just popped through the walls. There was still spackle on the walls and the tape, you know, for the seams. But we just got the TV in. We sat my buddy and I sat just to see what the TV would look like. I put the DVD in for Fast and the Furious, the original movie, and we wanted to see what it looked like on the TV, because you got those bright colors of the cars and everything. And we sat there on two buckets on the riser that was built. But like I said, this, it looked like a construction scene. We turned the lights off, or the light, it was a shop light in the room. We put the TV on and watched the entire movie, beginning to end, sitting on buckets in a raw theater, not even raw, a construction room. I had just basically popped the TV into the window, wanted to see what it looked like, and like, I got stuck. And once you got into the movie, we just sat there on two upside down Home Depot buckets and watched Fast and the Furious. And it was one of my favorite memories of this, because it's something only a home theater fan would do. It's like, you're so stupid. You're just sitting there and it's like, you're not comfortable, but you're listening to the sounds around the room. You're looking at the picture, because also at this time, that was the only way I could get high def, because the TV didn't, there was no high def TV. There was no high def at least in my area. I couldn't get a signal for cable or anything like that. So the best I had was what I was getting through the DVD. And it was, to me, it was glorious. And I sat through an entire movie sitting on the upside down bucket. So great set, great 8 movie collection. And I liked the first one probably the best. They get a little bit crazy at the end, but as car guys, that's what's fun, is like, because the cars are just their characters to themselves, and they end up doing these crazy things with them. Almost, it's almost like the Fast and Furious collection is like a superhero movie for cars. Like, the cars are the superheroes. Like, cars can't do that, the stuff they do later on in the movies. Early on, I think the first one, you were like, okay, that was a little bit more grounded, and then they got crazy as they got going. But I still enjoy them, because it's like, what crazy thing are they going to try to do? I mean, we can make Superman fly, why can't we make a car fly? Well, I guess. But anyways, really love that. Love to talk about that one, you know, one incident in my life where I sat on a bucket and watched a movie. A lot of fun. And that's Fast and the Furious for you. All right. JT says, just listen to this week's podcast. Oh boy, here we go. I wish I was as young as you think I might be. I was 16 when the first movie came out and turned 60 last week. Maybe I should now admit defeat, but after listening to you, I think I should try once more. We'll let you know how it goes. So he's replying to, we've had this bit, JT and I have had this back and forth. He is the listener that has never seen Star Wars, any of them, in its entirety. He's tried Star Wars, the original one from 77, and he didn't like it. So he never finished it. I don't know how far into it he got, but he was 16 when it came out. But I had speculated the week before that maybe he was too, like, he just wasn't brought up on it. Maybe he was young now and he wasn't never brought up on it. And he's like, no, it's the opposite. He was older then and he didn't get into it. And my buddy John and I are having a blast with this, because I keep talking about JT in my other podcast, because we talk Star Wars all the time over there, comic book podcast, and we love Star Wars. So we're laughing. And it's like, I replied to JT, I'm like, you are a unicorn, especially in the home theater world, because most home theater fans have seen it. I know people that don't like it, but to say that they've never seen it in the home theater world, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, JT, wear that. I'm at this point in your life, you're 60 years old. Why keep wear that like a badge? Like, no, never seen it. Don't care to. That's fine. I mean, it's like, it doesn't change anything. That's your opinion. I'm guessing when you were 16, like my buddy said, you were too cool for school. It was cars. It was girls. It was this, you know, you're like, all right, I don't need to geek out on that. I'm like, we already were geeking and nerding out on, you know, Star Wars. By the time we got to high school, we wore that as a badge. Why would you not? And who wanted, nobody wanted to be a nerd back then, but guess what? We leaned into it. Why not lean into this, buddy? I would just be like, yeah, I've never seen it. There's not many people that can say that, especially in the home theater world. So, hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate the conversation. I think it's a riot. It's great. All right, let's get to some emails this week. G. Cornell this week, we had a great conversation back and forth. He just emailed me out of the blue and asked me what my screen size was and where I sat. And then he told me, all right, you got me beat because his screen size was, I think it's slightly smaller, but he sits a little bit closer, but we're both going. But the conversation was funny because we both gave ranges on where we sit. And sometimes I'll move up a foot. And it doesn't take much. It's like my screen's 110 inches. And I told him I go between 10 feet and 11 feet away from an 110 inch screen. And it, you know, just scooch it up a little bit. 11 feet is where it's comfortable for everybody. Like you can get in between the seats and stuff, because if I scooch up a little, I always sit in the second row, but because that's where the prime seating was set for. If you sit in the front row, you're way too close. It's like being at an actual movie theater and you have to look up and everything. So the whole theater is designed around that second row. So if I want to watch a superhero movie like Justice, the Snyder Cut, I scooched up because I want to be just that foot closer, to be a little bit more dynamic looking at the screen. It's a lot more to take in. You just feel like it's that much larger, only a foot closer. But when I slide it a foot back, it's a little bit more comfortable because there's a little bit more of an aisle in front of me between that seat and the front row seat. So most of the time, it's probably at about 11 feet. My head, that is. It's probably about 11 feet from the screen. And then, you know, every now and then I'll say, hey, I really want to experience this movie. I'll slide up. And he does the same thing. He's like, you know, but that's the fun of it. And it was just an interesting conversation. Really appreciated that. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, GS. We have Gurinder. Gurinder got back. Didn't get back to me. Gurinder dropped in this week. He says, hi, DJ. Just wanted to drop. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from Dean, not Gurinder. This is from Dean, the one that's up on YouTube. Hi, DJ. Just wanted to drop you an email to say thanks for the show. I found your podcast after hearing you on the HT Guys podcast and have been enjoying it ever since. I am a copper from London and just had a manic six shifts, and on finishing my night duty and walking to the train station at 7 a.m., your podcast just popped up, so I'm now listening on my way home. It's a great way to start my days off and wind down. Keep up the great work, Dean. And thanks, Dean. I showed that one up on YouTube. I really appreciate messages like this. It's like, it is very humbling to think that people are listening to me and on their days off to wind down, and it's helping, you know, I mean, six shifts, a copper in London. I think that's fantastic. I said to him in my reply, I'm like, I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to say I have a copper. I know a copper. I've never even used that term before. But a copper in London is listening to me to wind down. That's directly from his email. I think that's fantastic. And again, it's very humbling. Thank you very much. I every week try to keep up the great work. I try to do the best I can, and this is the best I can. So thank you very much, Dean. Really appreciate that. And then let's get to that one I was talking about, Gurinder. Gurinder just dropped me an email saying that, you know, thanks for the podcast, blah, blah, blah. But also talking about his history and how he got into home theater. And I just wanted to mention it because he's like, I did this. And then I got a bigger screen. And then I went to this screen. He's a big fan of AV Rant. He listens to them all the time. I know they're helping him with his theater or have helped him with his theater. But he was like kind of hoping that he could just relax for a little bit. And I'm like, I don't think, yes, you will be able to. I've gone months, maybe a year at a time without tinkering on anything and just watched movies. But most of the time, it's even when I'm watching a movie, you're always thinking, it's always evolving. The home theater industry is always evolving, and we're always looking for that next best thing. And that to me is the fun of it. And Gurinder and I talk back and forth about that. And it just, but there's always something new. Unless you're like a billionaire and you just start out with the best of the best. There's always something we can upgrade. So that's how I look at it. And I'm hoping he can relax and just enjoy movies, but I don't think it is relaxing to me to upgrade stuff too. I don't find it stressful, but I get what he's saying. And Gurinder, hopefully you get to enjoy a bunch of movies. Just keep pushing play, having fun. That's what I do. That's what I try to do anyways. But I know sometimes I'll sit down and I'll just start looking around the room and be like, maybe I could change that. Or maybe I could change that. Or what would I do if I could have, how do I get a bigger screen? There's a million questions. Million questions. All right. Let's move on to new releases for this week. Nobody comes out on 4K disc now. And as soon as I'm done recording this, I'm heading to the store to pick that up because it comes out today as we speak. So I'll be picking that up. Really looking forward to seeing how that is. Great movie. Can't wait to see it on disc. Fantastic. Review will be coming of that someday. As you guys noticed, I try not to do my reviews on the new releases because everybody's doing them. So if you want to know about Nobody, there's tons of places to hear about it. I try to do stuff that's been out for a little while and try to bring a little bit more. Sometimes I try to bring stuff that most people, why would you do a review of that? Like say Rambo First Blood Part 2. Why would you do a review about that? And obviously we're going to get to that. So all right, that one, Nobody will be coming soon, but it came out this week. And movies and scenes, all I have to say, I didn't get any reported into me, but I'm going to say Godzilla versus Kong, you're going to go from the beginning when you push play, pretty much right till the credits roll. That's the scene I want you to watch. This is fantastic on 4K. I watched when we saw it on HBO Max, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it looked great and I thought it sounded great. It raises the bar. It's so funny because I know there's a lot of people out there that's all they do is stream, and that's fine. That's great. It's getting so close between streaming and disc. It's getting very, very close. But they're not the same. You can get so much more. There's so much more there's so much more dynamic sound and dynamic picture in the end scene in this, the end battle with the neon lights of the city and the creatures back and forth fighting, spoiler free, back and forth. The detail on Kong in the hair, the detail on Godzilla when they get a close-up on him at the different points of the movie. The bass is fantastic, beginning to end, that you just can't get on streaming. It just doesn't come through. There's no way. I mean, it's being compressed way too much. We're not there yet. Someday. And like I said, maybe someday they'll have a download service where you can actually just download the best version of it. And it'll take a little longer. Maybe it'll take you a day to download it, but whatever. At least you'll have that version. I don't know. But definitely Godzilla versus Kong, from the time you push play till the credits roll, check that one out. It is fantastic. Fantastic. And that will do it. Let's get to this week's movie. And here we go. Rambo First Blood Part 2, released in the U.S. on May 22nd, 1985. I was 14 years old, sitting at home. It had to be late May, early June. It was a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. I'm pretty sure it was a Tuesday. My dad doesn't remember. It was a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It was a school night, and my dad comes up to me. I still remember where I was, sitting on the couch watching TV, and he's like, "Is your homework done?" And I was like, "Yeah, probably wasn't." And he's like, "Want to go to the movies?" I was like, "All right, what are we going to go see?" And he's like, "Just come on, we'll go to the movies." Takes me uptown. and he takes me to see Rambo First Blood Part 2 on a school night. It's my first rated R movie ever that I was allowed to see. I honestly don't even remember if I saw a rated R movie before this. I don't remember if I, snuck in or something. It doesn't stick out in my head. I can't think of what it would have been. But this, to me, is the first rated R movie I ever saw, and my father took me to see it. Tons and tons of nostalgia for me with this movie. I love this movie almost as much as I could say, almost Terminator 2 or Star Wars or stuff like that, because I'm one of four kids. Star Wars, my dad took me to see, so I remember that. That started me on this into home theater. Rambo is the only other movie that my dad just took me to see. I don't have a ton of distinct memories with my dad, just me and my dad. Took me to a Red Sox game, took me to Star Wars, took me to Rambo, and a couple of camping trips with the Boy Scouts. And that was it. As individual, just the two of us, because he's got three other kids. You can't just keep to, and he did something like this with each of us, right? But this one sticks out to me, and I'll always remember it. That, and one other thing before I get to the picture and sound. My dad's a Vietnam vet. And at the time this movie came out, I was old enough to understand what was going on in the news. And a lot of people were very upset about this movie. It was glorifying Vietnam. It was glorifying the Vietnam vets. It was basically turning something that was very serious, tragic in a lot of cases, and turning it into an 80s action movie. So what was great about First Blood was that it spoke to the Vietnam vets. It spoke to the tragedy that they dealt with if they came home and what they had to deal with. So that actually had a purpose. That movie spoke to a lot of people. And now here this one comes out and it's basically, Rambo, Predator, Terminator. It's turned it into it's kind of, not mocking it, but it's turned it into a caricature of itself. So people were very upset about that. Here I am walking out of this movie. I remember walking across the street. I think we were almost to the double yellow lines. And I said, what did you think? And my dad says to me, he goes, could have been a little more action. He's sarcastic. I don't know where I got it from, but that's where, he's a sarcastic guy. So he really liked it. So we're getting into the car and I said, how come there's people that are upset about this? How come you're not upset about it? How come there are people upset? I didn't understand at the time, being 14. And he looked at me and he goes, everybody deals with things differently. And I still remember it to this day. I'm like, he was there. He could be a person that was very upset by stuff like this. And I learned even more about him later in life, about what he went through over there. And he had every right to be upset. I won't talk about that here, but he took it for what it was, an entertainment piece. And he's like, that's all it is. He goes, but they have every right to be upset. It bothers them. It bothers them, but it didn't bother him. And it was a crazy, crazy moment in my life, but always will love this movie. So let's get to the picture and the sound. I absolutely love this movie and I want to rave about it. The movie I can rave about, but that's not what we're here for. The picture, it's really nice. There's times that you're going to be like, it looks really good. It's never looked better. I can definitely say that, but it is fairly inconsistent, which is kind of funny to say fairly inconsistent. There's some really nice detail with black levels at times in the movies, but then there's some really flat scenes. And I talk on them briefly, the flatter scenes when we get to the scenes, but they look kind of washed out, but there are some scenes that really pop and I touch on those. Sound, much in the same way, really. DTS Master Audio 5.1. And I'm upmixing this to Neural X. And it still didn't really fill the room. It was like mostly front stage. everything seemed to be in front of you almost the entire time. With a few exceptions, and again, those are in the scenes that I talk about. But you would think that with the upmix, but that's not what it was meant to do. It can't, if it's not meant to come in around you, it can't. So all we're getting is basically a front stage, which means the dialogue is crystal clear. Best I've ever heard it. There were lines probably clearer than I've ever heard them. I don't know any off the top of my head, but I really enjoyed watching. I've watched it a few times since my first viewing, which was a few weeks ago. And speaking of which, it's been ruined because now I go back to do my scenes and talk about them and stuff like that. And I'm watching these scenes and they really don't fill the room compared to listening to music on Apple TV with Dolby Atmos. And that really fills the room. And I'm like, oh my God, this Atmos music is killing my movies because that is just filling the room the entire time. And now here we are with this movie from 1985, and it's just boom. I call it flat, but because it's towards the front of the room, but it's not really flat. It's just everything's in front of you, and there are some scenes that come back and fill the room a little bit. The score is nice at times, but I can't say that this is a, you know, you gotta see it as a home theater movie. But for me, from 1985, this time of year, school night, my dad taking me to the movie, I will watch this almost, since seeing this in 4K, I will watch this even more often now because I really did enjoy it. I really thought it's the best it's ever looked and it's the best it's ever sounded. And it has one of my favorite scenes probably of the year, because come December when we're talking about scenes, I'm probably going to be talking about this scene, much like Mulan last week with that overhead scene. So when we get to that, here are my four favorite scenes. We have that popcorn popping, and we're going to jump ahead to 17 minutes and 40 seconds for scene one, In Country, I call it. So at this point of the movie, we've been to the quarry at the beginning. Nice picture there. But then we end up in Vietnam, at the base in Vietnam, and it's not, the picture there was not very good. It was kind of flat and washed out. And we land, or Stallone lands, Rambo lands in Vietnam, and now we're in the jungle and we see him running up the rocks, very similar to when he was running up the rocks in First Blood. But the picture here, I thought, really stood out, and that's why I picked it as my first scene at 17 minutes 40 seconds. And it plays out for quite a while, and he meets Ko, and at about 18:30, the picture gets a little bit more blurry, but that's because of the humidity. So what was nice is at 17:40, we got the nice green, you know, lush landscape. You could see through the trees at times. You could see the nice blue sky. It was really nice. Good contrast. The black levels seemed to be really nice compared to what we saw at the base earlier, where it just didn't look very good. The black levels seemed to be kind of grayed out a bit. But here it was really nice at 18:30. Like I said, you get the humidity, and you could see it moving across the screen. It almost looked like at times like there was a filter on it to soften the picture, but it was more just the humidity that was in the air, more like even thicker than in Predator. Really, really cool. And I thought it stood out more now than it ever really has. Like I said, more detail in this than I've ever seen before. It's not the greatest picture, like I said, throughout the movie, but there are times where there's some nice crisp contrast, some nice detail that you could see, especially in the foliage, the colors. Really, really cool at 17:40. Really enjoyed that. And then for scene two at 39 minutes, it's the boat explosion. And so this is the scene where Rambo, Ko, and the POW that they rescued are on the boat. They're going down the river. They've been sold out by the pirates, and now there's a military boat coming after them. But Rambo has, he's eliminated everybody else on the boat using the shotgun. They've shot off to the, you know, he's shot them off the boat, killed everybody. And now he has to, he's being shot up by the military boat that's just unloading on this barge going down the river. He ducks down, wood's flying everywhere. It's really cool scene. Great memories of this scene, but everything, like I said, everything's towards the front of the room, except at the point when he actually pops up with the rocket launcher, shoots the boat, and the boat explodes. And probably one of the most impactful bass scenes in the movie, and the sound actually moved off the front wall and actually came into the room a little bit with that explosion. Nothing like Terminator 2, nothing like when, you know, the building blows up in Terminator 2 and it comes over and goes to the back of the room. That would have been nice there, but it was a nice scene. It's not fantastic. And as I said earlier, I kind of think that listening to this was great. I watched this weeks ago, but then having since watched or listened to Apple Music in Dolby Surround and the full envelopment, it's kind of ruined me. I mean, I love this movie. Don't get me wrong. I love this movie. And these are some of my favorite scenes from the movie, but they're just not holding up compared to other things. But in the movie itself, these are some of the better scenes. And then scene 3 at 59 minutes, I'm coming to get you. And that's Rambo talking to Murdoch, I think it was. And he's like, I'm coming to get you. And he's gripping the sound when he grips that microphone and the thunder. It actually moved off the front of the wall, front wall, and it kind of came into the room, the thunder overhead. Really, it's a nighttime escape, and there's really nice black levels in this scene. Really great. It's not my favorite scene of the movie. That is coming up next, and it's a really quick one, but that, it's so good. Very similar to last week in that overhead, how excited I was for that. I'm excited to get to scene 4 for you guys. But anyways, this scene here, fantastic. Fantastic escape scene, nighttime scene. Great black levels in the darkness. There's blood, plus there's smoke. So you've got different scenes with smoke and fog and foliage. The skin tones look fantastic. The pant, his wet pants, like they're running through the water and then he's sliding underneath or moving himself underneath the barbed wire, and the black levels and the shininess of his wet black pants look fantastic. The HDR, if you can call it HDR in this movie, the HDR with the helicopter chasing them in the spotlight, looking down on them, and then when it hits them, it really jumped off the screen like it never has before. This scene runs all the way to 1 minute and like 1 hour. Sorry, 1 minute. Yeah, 1 hour, 3 minutes. It's a pretty long scene of him trying to escape here. And it comes out really, really nice. Like I said, probably my favorite full-length escape scene of the movie. The score kind of fills the room, comes off of the front wall, kind of comes maybe halfway into the room. Again, you know, Apple Music and Dolby Surround and Dolby Atmos kind of ruined me here, but that's okay. This DTS mix is the best it's ever sounded. The dialogue sounds crystal clear, like I said, and this scene starts with that, and then it moves on to him escaping through the jungle. And just watch this scene over and over. It's about 4 minutes, and you can watch it over and over for different sounds that actually do move a little bit, and the detail here that I've never seen before in this movie. And as I said, this is one of my favorite movies, very nostalgic. But that we'll move along to this next scene. Exploding arrows. Scene 4, 1 hour, 13 minutes, 30 seconds, two boxes of popcorn, exploding arrows. I've never heard this before. Now, I haven't said what it is yet on purpose because I'm wondering if you have. I've seen this movie so many times. Haven't seen it in a few years. Haven't seen it probably since, definitely not since I upgraded my NHT speakers. Not since I went from my Onkyo to my Denon, or no, my latest Denon, maybe. I'm not sure, but I have never heard what I'm about to describe to you before, and it was amazing. So the first time I saw this movie, he has those exploding arrows. We see them at the beginning of the movie, and he has his box, a little plastic box, and he puts them in. And you can see those arrows. They have the gold tips, or they're gold, but then they have that little black tip, I believe, on them. And I always assumed, and I still think that's the case, that when that tip gets pushed in, that's what makes the arrow go boom, right? Well, we all have seen this scene. If you've seen this movie, you know, if you're listening to me right now, you know this movie probably inside and out like I do, like the back of my hand. He puts those arrows on, and when he's screwing them onto the shaft of the arrow, he takes it, and you can hear a noise. Like he's like, almost mechanical. Always heard that. I remember hearing that when I was a kid in the theater, because I'd go home and I'd be like pretending or whatever, like putting an arrowhead onto the shaft and be like, oh yeah. I still remember. I'm like, why did it make that noise? As a 15-year-old kid, I was like, why did it make that noise? It's not mechanical. It's just whatever. Always heard that. That sounded fantastic. Here's the thing I have never heard before, and I implore you, dig this out, see if you can find it, and see if you hear what I'm hearing. When he puts them on, there's a ticking noise. It goes tick, 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 tick. When he pulls back on the drawstring, and he's like tick, 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 till he fires it, and it goes boom. You don't hear anything. Puts another one on. So here, this scene here is when he's on the bridge. He's being chased by the Vietnamese. He's being chased, and he leads them into the field, and he's on a bridge, and he's going to shoot. Now they're all in, boom. He's going to blow things up. Well, every time he puts an arrow on, you hear the, and then that, like it's counting down. Like, I'm like, does that mean it's on a timer and he has to release it? Could that have gone off in his hand? I don't know. I don't think that's what it is. I don't think it's a timer, because that would be silly. Because what if you don't release the arrow? That would, or it blew up in midair and it never hit its target. Doesn't work. But I love the sound. You got to hear it. If you haven't heard that before, check it out. Listen at reference level. It is clear as day. You'll hear the tick, 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 and then he, boom. And then he puts another one on, you get the tick, 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 tick. It's so cool. Never heard it before. I've told people this since I watched this movie a few weeks ago. I've told people about this scene just because I'm so, and their eyes glaze over. They're not home theater people. They're just like, oh, great. Yeah, yeah, I'll have to check that out. Oh, well, sorry. But check that out. 1 hour, 13 minutes, 30 seconds, 2 boxes of popcorn. Fantastic scene. What a great way to end this, too. I definitely check that out. Let me know what you think. I obviously really enjoyed this movie. Is it just the nostalgia? Maybe, because the sound doesn't hold up, but hey, you guys, let me know enough of what I've said about it. Let me hear from you guys. And you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, and check this podcast out and all the other great podcasts that I've done. Yes, I'm saying great. Over at brightsidehometheater.com. And if you're not watching it on YouTube, go to YouTube, check it out, hit subscribe. Really appreciate that. Thank you to all my patrons over at Patreon, my 14 patrons. And thanks you to everybody supporting me on Twitter, all the great conversations, all the fun that we have. I'm just having a blast. I cannot wait for next week. It is big. I gotta say that. It is very, very big. Hopefully it pans out. If it doesn't pan out, I'll tell you what is coming. If it doesn't pan out, you're getting Independence Day, because it's Independence Day weekend. If it does pan out and this big thing does happen, you won't be disappointed, and we're going to push Independence Day all the way to the next week. Woohoo! because that's technically still kind of the same week. It's a week after Independence Day. But there you go. You've got something really great coming next week. I'm not really sure yet, but I'm super excited for it. When you hear what it is, I think you'll be excited too. So until then, go push play, have fun, have a great week. I'll see you next week. I can't wait.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.